Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him, Chief Ralph Ornelas, all the way from California, sunny California today. And Chief, you showed me a picture at the beginning of the show. Can you throw that up so at least our viewing audience can see that? And how long ago was that picture taken? And how old were you?
Oh, I think I was about 18, 19 years old.
Wow. Well, that's pretty impressive. All right. So before you came on with the sheriff's office then in LA County. All right.
Yeah, I was living back in New York at the time. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Excellent. So, all right. Good deal. Well, welcome to the show. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. Don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15. In order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. We also have our satellite sponsor, Compliant Technologies, at ComplianTechnologies.com. And yes, we just got off of satellite radio with Westwood One, and we're trying to make the transition to Sirius XM. So Compliant Technologies is helping us make that happen. We also have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming to about 1 million followers right now during the live show. And if you have an agency, you're having recruitment issues, look no further than safeguardrecruiting.com. And also twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Please check them out. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press, Ray Diedrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Sheets for lawofficer.com. Thank you to all those entities for helping make this show happen. Don't forget, we are on every podcast outlet you can think of, including Spotify and Apple iTunes. We're also on all of our social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Truth Social, you name it, we're probably there too. So thanks guys for watching the show. And now to go ahead and whet the appetite, what in the world are we talking about today? Our main story, Spencer Pratt, I know you're going to love this, Chief, becomes Batman in a wild AI video roasting California politicians. There is a law enforcement tie-in. I got to tell you, Chief, I really like that. So we're going to talk about that. Did you see the video, Chief? I know you did.
I saw the other one too that he did. It was called Latinos for Spencer Pratt. You know, so
I haven't seen that one. No.
I gotta tell you, what he's doing is so out of the box and with AI that even so many community people are really attracted to this guy who's just a genuine Joe doing the right thing.
I love it. So yeah, I gotta admit, when I was looking at the Gotham themed I thought you certainly would be in there somewhere. I was trying to find you, but I couldn't find you. So, but yeah, anyhow, right. We got another one here. We've got a jury finds LAPD not liable for a Burlington store shooting of a California teenager. I remember this. I remember us covering it when the bad guy rolls into the store and they had the roll in hot after him, but a cop with a rifle took a shot and it killed the bad guy. Bad guy got killed, but there was a ricochet too, and it killed a teenage girl in a dressing room who was in there with her mother. So, I mean, just a horrible story. We're going to talk about the outcome. This is a civil suit, not criminal. This is the one of these things where officers try to get qualified immunity for. So we'll see if everybody agrees with the outcome of it. But it's frankly a very interesting story. I mean, it's a tragedy, but from a perspective of law enforcement and liability and stuff, it's a very interesting story. Man convicted in a point blank shooting of a Mountain View police officer. Guys, this is a hard video to watch, but we're going to cover it. Body cam shows a shootout between a suspect and Oklahoma City police officers. And then Greg Abbott warns Texas City to cancel their Muslim only water park event, or they're going to lose $530,000 in state grants. And that's just for 1 year. They got to reapply every year for that money. It's great. He's got some stones. Man armed with a box cutter fatally shot by Bradley police officers. If we have time to get to that one. So if you're ready, Chief, let's go and start on the main topic. All right. So RVMnews.com, Spencer Pratt, who we're becoming more familiar with, becomes Batman in a wild AI artificial intelligence video roasting California politicians. So this is put together so well. In my opinion, but the chief lives out there. So I really want to hear what he has to say. Although I'm like a part-time citizen because I go to California every year. But in fact, I'm trying to get to the point where I actually stay there for like a month out of the year, but I haven't been able to pull that off yet. I got to figure out a way to get the pooch over there, my dog. But Spencer Pratt turned heads online with a superhero style video. It shocked viewers, stirred political conversation across California, as reported by the Gateway Pundit. And boy, did it create some stirs with what he did in this thing. The ad, which cast Pratt as a Batman figure, took aim in a lineup of the well-known state Democrats in explosive cinematic fashion. Now, originally it was posted on Twitter, you know, formerly Twitter, now called X. There's a user named Charles Caron who posted, not like the Quran, you know, but Caron. Okay, guys, get your minds out of the Muslim gutter. And before Pratt reshared it on Tuesday, the video opens as a Gotham-like L.A. So L.A. is like Gotham City. It's engulfed in flames. And there's a mansion with political and social elites in it. You know, and wait till you hear who they are. The Democratic leaders are shown surrounded by armed guards labeled as socialist enforcers, okay? Karen Bass, right, the mayor, appears first. And she's portrayed as a Joker-inspired villain seated on a throne. Then we have the governor, Gavin Newsom, and Kamala Harris. We all know her. They're standing beside her, and they're joking as partygoers are mocking desperate civilians who are pleading for help with the homelessness crisis. And then the politicians are laughing at the woman complaining about the homelessness crisis as Newsom, the governor, delivers a crude remark while he's eating cake, and then he's drawing immediate attention from the viewers. And then next, we got Nithya Raman. I'm not really sure who she is. You can probably help me out with that. Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, she's a city council member.
Okay, thank you.
Of a certain district in LA City.
So she appears as a puppet character who demands that drug addicts be moved closer to the scene. And then in another outrageous moment, Harris, Kamala, takes a drink from a bottle and says, "Bass already solved crime. I endorse her." Which the video notes is based on something that she said publicly. Pratt's depicted at his trailer, because we all know he's living in this trailer because his house burned down, right? He's horrified at what he's seeing on the screen. He suits up in a Batman costume, determined to intervene and fight back against what the video describes as government corruption and moral decay in the city. It's going to get better. He charges into all this chaos, confronts armed guards, defeats them. There's fighting and stylized combat sequences, and it's like a superhero thing. He storms into the mansion, and he enters into the heart of the establishment that he's seeking to confront. Bass, the mayor, and the others who continue to mock the city's citizens until Bass declares that they're going to burn this town to the ground. And then as soon as she says that, this tomato goes flying through the air and kaboom, just hits her right in the freaking, you know, noggin. And then there's just like a food fight, but it's like a tomato throwing fight. And then they cut away. They show Marco Rubio. He's acting as a DJ, encouraging Pratt to keep going. And they got his music. They got anyhow. It kind of goes from there. It's a feel good video. What do you think? Come on, Chief. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I commend him for the creativity of him and his team putting this together. And when it does, it, in a certain way, with the young generation out there, it really attracts them. And I can tell you right now, the news here on the West Coast about this mayoral race, he's really getting a lot of attention that he really wants to correct problems. And he's through this AI, he's bringing issues to the surface in front of your face, what they have failed the council member who's part of the government and the mayor, and who's the mayor of the city, who was not in the city at the time when the fires took place, and when his house and his mother's house and his father's house burnt down in Pacific Palisades. But not only that video, AI video, there's another one called Latinos for Spencer Pratt, which is even more creative than that one when he was the Batman. And he's got this beautiful music and he's dancing with his wife. It's on a kind of a cartoon fashion, but he's basically saying, "Latinos, I will correct these problems." And it shows in front of, Griffith Park Observatory, where there's all homeless housing with tents. He's cleaning it up. All in front of schools, he's cleaning it up. And I got to tell you, even some of the Blacks on African-American community on Instagram, Chip and audience, they are all in with him in regards to what he's portraying right now, because he's not a politician. He wants to solve a problem.
I think it's excellent. Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens. Predictions on the election. Come on. Are you going to go out on a limb on this or what?
I will. I'm going to go out. I can't vote in there because I don't live there. But I still, I worked a lot side by side. My uncle was LAPD for 35 years. And my prediction, he's going to win.
Oh, wow. I mean, really, how amazing would that be in the Palisades and people being able to start building homes and just the right things happening and stuff. So, and they give people a little taste of what a Republican can do as opposed to a Democrat. You know?
Well, you know, let me tell you, he doesn't portray himself as a Republican. He says he's an independent. Just to let you know that.
Now I thought that he was a Republican. Is he? Because that's what I heard. He's not. He's an independent. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, but it's really interesting. Some of the polls from LMU, University of Loyola Marymount University, UCLA. Well, guess what? Some of those polls he's saying, and some other people are saying, is that those polls aren't realistic, that he's actually ahead of them. And plus, when you have Karen Bass and the city council member going at each other, he loves it.
All right. Well, good commentary. We're off to a good start, Chief. Now, it always happens. Well, not always happens.
Can I just say one more thing, please?
Yeah.
So I just want the audience to know that this city council in Los Angeles, what they have just done, and I know Spencer Pratt has spoken about this, they just approved no more pretextual stops the officers can conduct in Los Angeles. Now, let me just say this to you, okay? Which means you can't pull anybody over for expired tags, non-functioning lights on your car, cracked windshields, broken rearview mirror, illegal tint, loud exhaust, and missing license plate. So, audience, I know it's almost I gotta go, but those are the things that me and Chip made traffic stops, which evolved into other crimes that we solved.
That's how you get real bad guy, because they don't want around with banners on their head saying pick me up. That's how you find real bona fide bad guys. So too bad for them, because they're gonna suffer accordingly. Commercial break, we'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing: that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas, all the way from California. And we were just talking on the break. We've got a Facebook user, because, you know, we're streaming to about a million people right now. And what is it? Was it Sean Hess? Yeah, Sean Hess was typing in some derogatory comments, asking, you know, kind of like pushing buttons about how many people have you shot at, shot, killed, corruption, you know, all this kind of stuff. So, Chief, I know you wanted to address it. Go ahead.
You know, I listen, we respect the fact that Sean Hess could make commentary anytime he wants. And I love when we engage people like that. But I would say this, Sean, put on your Sam Brown, put a badge on your chest, come out there and try to do the job. Now, Sean, if you're looking at me, I've made per month when I was young deputy, over 30 arrests a month, some big cases. And I've confronted a lot of people. I was blessed. I never shot anybody. But let me tell you something, Sean. I've saved a lot of lives out there, too. A lot of lives, and got a lot of young people who are in gangs, jobs. I mean, I helped a lot of people out, that when you put that badge on, Sean, you're not just a cop. You're a psychologist. You're a mentor. You're a teacher. I mean, you're a sociologist. You're everything wrapped in that. And let me tell you something, Sean. Unless you've walked a mile in those moccasins, be careful what you say.
Yeah, I don't think Sean has a clue. But anyhow, no, look, we will look. You have the right to your opinion and to voice it. And we have the right to continue to fight so that you have that right, just like our military does, you know. So they get all the stuff. And so I'm not complaining. You know, if people want to make ignorant statements, that's fine. It's not going to affect me and how I do my job, or the act of people do their jobs. Because you know what? We get it. We got too many things to go on to worry about that, you know. So anyhow, another shot from the cheap seats anonymously. So, but guys, if you're ready, let's roll on to our next story. Our next one here, FoxLA.com. So Valentina, or I guess, or Alana Peralta, is the name of the, I believe it's the female that was killed, unfortunately. It is a horrible story, but there is something, there's a takeaway here. The jury found that LAPD was not liable for a Burlington store shooting of a California teen. Now, this, I'll tell you, it was such a dynamic scene caught on video. I'll never forget it. We covered this a few years ago. So a jury reached a verdict on Thursday following this deadly shooting of this 14-year-old girl, Valentina, who was killed by a stray bullet that was fired by a Los Angeles police officer. But it wasn't like an accidental discharge or anything like that. He was trying to stop a bona fide bad guy. It was inside of a North Hollywood Burlington store. We all know the Burlington, like, Coke factories and stuff, right? This happened back in December of 2021. So think about that. December 2021, that's what about 4.5 years ago, right? So in a 9-3 verdict, and that's interesting, it was 9-3, the jury found that LAPD was not liable for the teen's death. And her family has sought more than $100 million in the lawsuit. So the city did not settle. So I'm impressed with that, to be honest with you. It must have been tempting when they're going after $100 million. Jurors deliberated for a little bit more than a day before they sided with the city. Now, on December the 31st, back in 2021, this young girl was trying on a Christmas dress with her mother in a second floor dressing room of the Burlington store. When LA police officers responded to a call of a man, and I'm going to mute your mic there so I can, there we go. But they're responding to a call of a man on this thing and accused of attacking multiple people with a bike lock. As the encounter between the man armed with a bike lock, identified as Dana Lopez, 24 years old, intensified, one of the officers, who's Officer William Dorsey Jones Jr., he fired his rifle and a stray bullet hit and killed this 14-year-old girl. Lopez also died in the incident. So I thought that it was maybe the same bullet. It says it was a stray bullet, so perhaps it wasn't the same. In a 9-3 verdict, the jury found that the LAPD was not liable for the shooting death of the 14-year-old girl, Valentina, and more than 4 years after the girl's death, LAPD was being sued for the wrongful death. So that's what happened. Chief Ralph.
You know, first of all, let's face it, it's a sad story. A young girl's life at 14, you know, been taken, and, you know, and all this, you know, all the emotion about the mother being there with her in a dressing room. But here we go again. You know, a officers respond to a suspect, Daniel Lopez, who is beating people up with this chain or, you know, a lock for his bicycle in people. You know, the officer Jones, I think his name is William D. Jones, came in, and he might have saved other people's lives. And, you know, look at it. I remember watching some of the testimony. This young officer did a superb job testifying on the stand, and you could see it's killing him what he had to go through. You know, this young lady, you know, being killed by a bullet like that. But I gotta commend the city of Los Angeles going to court civilly to win this case, Chip, in the audience, because, you know, it was all premised on the mental distress and I think it was PTSDs about the mother. And I believe that's what I believe the jury found, that maybe that her attorneys didn't prove their case to show that. So that's why you got a 9-3 verdict, which the city won. And I got to commend the city. Sometimes you have to, you know, challenge these cases in court, you know. And I remember sitting, being a litigation commander for the LA County Sheriff's Department, then some cases we present in front of the county council, that you have to fight these cases. So, you know, yeah. It's either way, it's sad, Chip, in the audience, that was a young girl, but sometimes you can't just pay people off to say, okay, let's give them this. And they had, so they did the plaintiff didn't prove that case.
Yeah. And now in these cases, what the law firms usually grab about a third of the winnings, correct? The family gets about 2/3. So this law firm is on the hook. I mean, they just donated all that time and all the expense. Wow.
You know? That's true. Good point.
Yeah. I hate to see, look, I, I mean, I feel for the family. Don't get me wrong. And this is, I wouldn't say this is a clear instance of someone trying to abuse the system and go after cops. I understand cop fired a bullet, it ricocheted and hit the kid. So I honestly don't hold the family that at fault on this. It's sad that we had to go to that. $100 million now, that's a lot of money. Even in a death case, $50 million is a lot of money. So I kind of questioned the amount they were seeking, but I'm glad the city fought it. Congratulations to LA and the LAPD. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions that help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CD3, that stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've already had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing statistic. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove and ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Welcome back, guys. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. And while we've had quite the topic so far, I'm ready to start one with a video component. If you're okay with that, Chief, we're going to pop over. We're still in I mean, how many California stories can we actually have in a row? But yeah, we're in Mountain View, California. Where's Mountain View at, Chief, compared to?
It's north. It's way north of me. I tell you, I've never been there.
No. Okay. All right. So a place called Mountain View, California. This is at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, which is called This Is Rumble. A man convicted in a point blank shooting of a Mountain View police officer.
Hey man, how's it going?
Yeah, it's all good.
What's up?
So guys, I will tell you, and I'd be surprised if the chief's ever seen this too, but I've never seen this video. And so sometimes, especially when you have jurisdictions where they don't timely release videos, they just don't release them unless it's until it comes court time. And then after the court proceedings, you get a bad guy convicted or not convicted, then they'll release it to the public. So I suspect that's what happened in this case. So Mountain View, California, an East Bay man found guilty on Wednesday of attempted murder and other crimes for a 2022 shooting of a Mountain View police officer at point blank range, hard to watch, during a traffic stop. An ambush captured by his body camera, it touched off a day-long regional manhunt. Yeah, this guy temporarily got away. And notice that I said attempted murder. So yeah, the cop survived. He's okay. But he should be waking up and praising and thanking God every day for the rest of his life, because he should be dead. I mean, no doubt about it. So Jeffrey Thomas Choi, C-H-O-Y, is our bad guy, 37 years old, of Union City, convicted by a jury on Wednesday. There were 2 days of deliberations, a three-week trial. Choi was initially charged with via criminal complaint following the July 16, 2022 shooting. So yeah, that was about 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago. 4 months later, prosecutors secured a criminal grand jury indictment to speed up the proceedings, but it still spanned almost 4 years. The attempted murder conviction was accompanied by two charging enhancements, also approved by jurors, because the shooting had targeted a cop and this guy used a gun. And on that conviction alone, he's facing up to 50 years to life in prison. Good for that bad guy. He deserves it. A Mountain View police officer who had 5 years on the force. He's working a DUI enforcement shift. And less than an hour after midnight on the day of the shooting, he sees this guy, or bad guy, Choi, driving a gold Ford Explorer, and he runs a stop sign. And then he barrels through a four-way intersection. So investigators say that after the Ford driver, since identified as Choi, stopped, the officer walks up to the driver's side of the vehicle. The driver's window looked like it was completely rolled down. After a quick, the article says a quick exchange of pleasantries, it was so brief, it was almost non-existent, right? They say the officer heard a slide rack on the pistol, and then the guy raises it up and shoots him. I couldn't hear it. if it was fluid and in motion. I mean, when you read the article, you read it thinking, well, if I heard someone rack a freaking slide, I'm already moving. It didn't happen like that. This thing, if he was able to hear it, it would have been so fast. It was just like fluid. So moments later, Choi points the moments later. I mean, like a fraction of a second later, you got this black semi-automatic handgun sticking out the window. Two shots ring out. The cop starts the dive away. Gets caught in the arm and in the shoulder. They say it's a bulletproof vest. There's no such thing as a bulletproof vest. So the ballistic vest blocked the one in the shoulder, and he was hit. And let's see, bullet hit the forearm. So he's hit in the forearm of his left forearm and the left shoulder. And he was treated and released out of hospital the same day. So that's good. So cop's okay. Our bad guy, though, drives away from the shooting scene. Cop is a little bit incapacitated, all right? And bad guy makes it less than a mile away, and he ends up crashing the car that he gets away in, you know, that he got pulled over in. And so then he runs away, and he hides for several hours in a laundry room somewhere. And about 24 hours later, so think about that now. Now, 24 hours later, you got the Alameda County Sheriff's Office, a surveillance plane spots the sucker. He's in a Black Bear Diner. You love the name, right? In Fremont. And so now who they call in? The Mountain View Police, because those are the guys that have skin in the game, right? They've already had one of their officers shot, but they call in the freaking U.S. Marshals. Those are the guys, man. Nobody does it like these guys. Choi, again, attempts to flee from the diner. There's a foot chase. They take him down. Now, at the time of the shooting, our guy's out on bail for a March 2022 gun possession arrest and charge. He's banned from having firearms because of an earlier attempted robbery conviction in Alameda County. So he's a prohibited person. No wonder it's a charging enhancement. A warrant was later issued for his arrest for not appearing at a related court date that June. So he had a warrant out for his arrest when he was getting stopped by the cops. So that's the way this thing rolls. Chief Ralph, your thoughts on this?
I tell you, God bless that officer, number one, being still alive. I mean, my heart goes out to him. I have to give some critique, though. And this officer, if you're listening or watching, don't take this severely, but we have to learn from these things. Number one, that based on what you articulated, Chip, he ran a stop sign, ran an intersection. When he made the traffic stop of this Choi suspect, right away, it tells me something. I might not have walked up on the car. I might have wanted to request backup to have more personnel before I approached this, okay? But if I was going to approach it the way he did, I would walk to the back of that vehicle, tap the vehicle, and see what his response. And then also, before I get to that position near the window, I would say, let me see your hands.
Hands.
And guess what? Many times, probably you and I have done the same thing. Got to that, no hands. I'm going back to my car. There's a reason nobody wants to cooperate, right? With a weapon inside. So please, officer from Mountain View, my heart is with you all and all the young officers watching this. Tactics approach of these things is so critical. If you feel something, you got to go with your gut reaction, and you have to put them in a difficult position, not you in a difficult position.
Right. Yeah. You know, well, one thing's for sure, and I wouldn't say this if the officer had been killed or anything, but he survived. Look, he will never do this again. He will never do a traffic stop like this again. I guarantee you. And if he would not have gone through this, he would have. And thank God he didn't die. So he learned a hard lesson, and hopefully other guys of that agency are too. You know, it's all about training. And even with the best training, sometimes you can get lackadaisical. But you never know. And so, walking up, that's the first thing. You're right. I know. I was waiting for him to say. Now, I read the title, so I knew that there was going to be a point-blank shooting. But you could see into the car. You could see his hands were not visible. And I kept waiting and said, surely he's going to say to the guy, at least put your hands on the steering wheel, you know, but he didn't. And he paid a price.
You know, the other thing in regards to the prosecution, Chip, and you might not agree with me. If I was the district attorney, I would have went with premeditation. I believe this guy planned it to shoot this officer when he walked up on him. I mean, come on. But you know something else? I bet that Choi suspect, though, when he shot him twice, that the officer was dead. And he took off. Not, you know, he thought, because what if, you know, he might have got out of the car and shot him again. But I think he thought he really got the officer, and he came, he left. So, you know, I'm disappointed. No premeditation, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, that's okay. That is a good point. I mean, the guy's looking at 50 to life, but of course here he'd be sitting in a chair getting electrocuted.
California, Chip, Prop 57 looked at all the felonies of people they said that wasn't violent, and let a lot of these people out, these prisoners out. They depopulated some of the prisons.
Yeah, and that's not surprising to me, but that's scary. Yeah. We got a little less than 2 minutes before we take our next break. So if you're ready, Chief, we have a, let me just see what we've got here. Yeah, we've got another one here. I'll tell you what, let's talk about this Muslim thing. And before we cover another story with the video component, I may have enough time to get through it. I don't know, before a commercial break in a minute and a half, but rvmnews.com, Greg Abbott. We love Greg Abbott, the governor of the wonderful state of Texas. He warns Texas City to cancel a Muslim-only water park event or lose about $500,000, $530,000 in state grants. So May 7th, 2026, Texas governor, the Republican governor of Texas, Texas, Greg Abbott, put Grand Prairie, which is a suburb of Dallas, where I'm going at the end of the month, on notice after learning about an event that he says directly violates the Constitution and the values of equal access to all Texans, as reported by the New York Post. So it was reported in the New York Post. In a sharp letter sent on Wednesday, the governor warned Grand Prairie Mayor Ron Jensen that the city could lose more than $500,000 in state funding if it fails to cancel an upcoming event. It's a city-owned water park, but it's described as Muslims only. That's the rub. So the annual DFW Epic EID celebration, it's planned by a local Islamic group at the taxpayer-funded Epic Indoor Water Park. It was originally marketed online as being exclusively for Muslims, and Abbott's immediate reaction was firm. The governor blasted the plan on social media, called it a blatant case of religious discrimination, reminding everybody that state law forbids Muslim-only or really any other kind of religiously segregated public event on public property. We're going to cover this more, but it's religious discrimination. It's unconstitutional, Abbott wrote bluntly. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And hey, there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn, so pay attention. So actually, GunLearn, for starters, is the first and the only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, that certified firearm specialist, that certification, even if you got it 5 years ago, guess what? Now it's worth college credits. GunLearn, they have partnered with Smarter Degree, and through Smarter Degrees University Partners, now they can offer that degree, and it's worth college credits. Even if you got it 5 years ago, now you have those college credits. And they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, law enforcement officers, need to know, not only about firearms, but also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can actually start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. This is an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBluck, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. And we left off talking about, you know, I just realized that this is the first story we've had that is not in California. Imagine that. The title is Greg Abbott, which of course is we love Greg Abbott, governor of Texas. He warns a Texas city to cancel Muslim-only water park event, or they're going to lose over $500,000 in state grants. And that is a place called Grand Prairie, which is near Dallas, which of course I'm going to be at the end of the month with four other people from the show. And it says that the event in question, it talks about it as an indoor facility, cost taxpayers $88 million to build. It opened in 2017. It's marketed as a family-friendly destination regularly. Now they say they regularly host private events, but the rub on this one is that this is a religious thing. It's not like, you know, could you imagine having a private event and them saying, okay, we're only getting only white people are invited? I mean, could you imagine that? Or only Indian people? In this case, it's only Muslims. But yeah, I can see how that would violate the law, and probably rightfully so. What are your thoughts, Chief Ralph?
You know, I commend the governor, and the reason why, it's public land. It's a public location. If you know, in that article you sent, I reviewed it, it shows Dana Loesch, you know, having the flyer, and on the bottom, it basically lays out Muslims only, and certain proper dress, modest burkas and stuff like that. And they would do some religious things. So listen, I could tell you this, in New Jersey, where my mother-in-law lives, the Indian population has a fair all the time in August, but it never says Indians only, you know. Yeah. Everybody's included, you know, everybody's included. And you know something, my wife and I, one time we went by to see it. It was beautiful. You know, it's beautiful, you know. So I believe the monies that are from the public monies, I agree with Governor not giving them that $535,000, which they probably need. And also, it doesn't seem right to do that. And I mean, I don't know why they're pushing for this. It just doesn't seem right for it. And I'm glad that he stood up to it. And all the other things, I think what he's worried about too, audience and Chip, is the no-go zones. That's, I think he's worried about that. That could expand if they allow it to have this event, and then they may go to no-go zones and stuff. So I believe, you know, it's just not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
Yeah. Good point. I was going to ask you if you had any predictions, but how do you really predict how someone's going to react on this? Are they going to still have it in lieu of the $500,000? I would think that most cities, unless they're super funded, would probably go in and say, okay, we're going to, it's against the law. Either way you look at it, it's against the law. The fine, they have a fining mechanism, so no one's going to end up in jail if they do it. But I hope they do the right thing. We'll see.
You know, Chip, you bring a good point up, and I wrote at the bottom of my notes, the cities and the crosshairs, what decision will they make at this juncture about this situation? And you know something, it concerns me because, you know, a college professor of mine, Harvey Cushing, wrote a book, The Holy War on the Home Front. And guess what? This city council could fold over like a tortilla and let this go. You know, and so, you know, I don't know, Chip. It's going to be very interesting to see what takes place.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know what? I'll tell you what, if they thumb their nose up at the governor, this is the governor you don't want to mess around with, or the AG in Texas. And if they thumb their nose up, when I go to Dallas, I may have to take a little diversion and go check out this Grand Prairie or whatever they're called. I may have to go check them out. So, I'll take video.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about this, how it unfolds, because, you know, this situation is going to be set precedence maybe to other states what goes on.
All right. I love it. Well, look, we have our choice. Well, your choice, Chief. We have a body cam. It shows a shootout between a suspect and the Oklahoma City police officers. So that was the video number two. And then the third one was the man armed with a box cutter fatally shot by Bradley police officers.
You, Jose?
What's up, man?
So, called us, told us you made some suicidal comments. Well, she sent this. We saw those text messages about the suicidal comments. Okay? What do you got in your hand there, boss? So what we'd like to do, Jose, is we'd like to call an ambulance here for a mental evaluation and make a determination whether or not you're going to go to the hospital for a mental eval. What do you got in your hand, dude? Can't count 526. Stay there. What do you drop? What you have in your hand? Drop it. Pick less lethal. Can't count. Give me some more units. Don't make.
So which would you rather cover?
You know, I'd rather cover the one that's number three at Bradley Police Department, if you don't mind, Chip.
You got it. All right. So again, rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This is Butter. And This is Butter gets all these videos out before anybody else gets them. So we're in a place called Bradley, Illinois. So it's 12:46 p.m. So it's really right in the middle of the afternoon on April the 8th. Bradley Police Department officers, they are doing a wellness check. They call it a well-being check. It's a wellness check in Bradley on a guy that's making suicidal statements. So police on the Tuesday said that Jose Orzosko, Roscoe, 34 years old. He's armed with a box cutter. So we have two officers that show up. They're interacting with this guy, and they're telling him that they've seen text messages that he's been sending saying suicidal things. And so so what we'd like to do here, Jose, the cops are, the verbiage was pretty good, I thought, is we'd like to call an ambulance here for a mental evaluation and make a determination whether or not you're going to go to the hospital for a mental eval. And at that point in the video, the officer appears to notice a bladed object that this dude had in his hand. So it kind of looks like there may be in a backyard kind of area with like another structure back there, like maybe a garage or shed or something. And we've got officers that are at least two or three officers that are spaced out. And this guy looks like, you know, body cams make it appear that they're further away than they really are. But this guy looks like he's got a decent distance. I had a tough time determining that the guy had a knife in his hand. That's how far it was on the body cam. What do you got in your hand, dude? The officer asked then. And so the guy initially stands there at a distance from the police with his arms at his sides, and then he starts walking towards them. And then the officers say, stay there, man. And then he's continuing to advance. And as he closes the distance between them, police again say, hey, stay there, man. And so then we got another officer saying, hey, take your shot. He can be heard telling officers, take your shot. So one officer is heard calling for more units. Our bad guy increases to a jog. Now, I will tell you that the officer that we're looking at has got a firearm. The one off on the side immediately in our view has got a taser. And the bad guy, he starts picking up speed before he starts doing a jog, and then he's essentially doing a sprint. So the second officer calls for less lethal use in a single. Shortly after that, there's three shots fired. The bad guy falls to the ground. As he begins to move again, they're yelling, "Drop the knife! You'll be shot." They should have said, "You'll be shot again." And so then he can be seen getting to his feet with the weapon still in his hand. And it shows the first officer again firing his gun three times. And police repeat the commands to drop the knife. And our bad guy's taken to the hospital where he's pronounced dead. Chief Ralph, 2 minutes.
You know, first of all, as you stated, I liked his initial conversation trying to calm the guy down. What's going on? This is what we want to do for you. And then the guy is asked, hey, take it. What's in your hand? Drop it. And then, as you stated, he's running towards him. And before that, though, the taser, I don't know what ever happened to the taser. I don't know if he ever hit him or not hit him. And then the taser, you can see the yellow tasers on the ground in front of the officer, his backup officer to the left. And he shoots him. It's justified, Graham versus Connor, you know, and I get it. He goes down. I'll be honest with you. He's trying to get up. I mean, he shot already. Could have kicked him in the face. He could have done something like that, you know, but he shoots him again. It's still justified. The interesting part about it, though, look at the other officer to the left, though. His camera's at an angle. They're yelling at this guy for 2.5 minutes. Drop the weapon. And finally, a supervisor comes from the right side of the main shooter who shot first. He comes out and he kicks the knife out of the hand. You know, and it's, you know, listen, it's all justified, but it just, to me, it doesn't look good for 2.5 minutes. The guy's laying there and the guy
bleeding out.
He's bleeding and he's asking him, drop the weapon. He's still, the officer is still saying, drop the weapon for 2.5 minutes. The guy's gurgling. He's dead.
Yeah.
You know, so if I was a defense attorney, you know, guess what?
You'd be saying if you would have given him first aid and you could have saved his life if you wouldn't have been. Yeah.
Maybe. But the supervisor came around and I can't remember exactly what he said. He kicked the knife out of the box cutter out of his hand and he started the process calling in paramedics and stuff. You know, there are certain things you have to put you shot the person. There's things you could do and to orchestrate that a little better.
All right. Excellent commentary, Chief Ralph Ornelas from California. Thank you so much, Chief. And of course, you were a commander with the LA County Sheriff's Department before you became a police chief over there. So you wear both hats. I love it. So thanks so much. Great topics for the day show for you, too.
I thank you.
Hey, I'm looking over here at Rumble. You got your fan base is growing over on Rumble because MVS and Bill BC, all these guys like what you're saying and stuff. So anyhow, so thanks for backing up the chief on what he's saying, guys. I do want to mention again, you know, we've started our new website, leoaffairs.ch, because that means that it is in the Sweden and in the Switzerland area. So again, leoaffairs.ch, check it out. And also our sponsors, guys, supporter sponsors. We have got Gauls.com. We've got ComplianTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safer Recruiting, and TwoBells.com. We'll see you guys back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.